Michelle said.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. It's, man, just getting off Labor Day weekend. And yeah, it's been a very eventful several days here and trying to stay on top of it. We're doing good, man. You know, it's funny. Labor Day is one of those holidays at a pipe shop that you're like, do I close the shop down or do we stay open? You know, it's kind of this like on the line type thing. We've had some years where Labor Day is a ghost town because people are out of town or on the lake or something. And then we've had those years where Labor Day is just wide open, just crazy because people will find themselves bored and don't have anything else to do. And so they're like, well, let's go, you know, buy some pipe tobacco and I don't know, maybe a new Dunhill or something. And so, and man, fortunately, that's the kind of Labor Day we had. So it was really good, man. A lot of folks coming by, buying some cigars and, man, hanging out around the shop, enjoying our community. And that was encouraging. So it was good, man. Just getting into the short work week for everybody else and, man, trying to, get ready for the fall. So yeah. Yeah.
That's good stuff, man.
What's going on with you, man?
We just kicking back at the house. You know, my wife working in healthcare and everything, so we didn't quite have the full on holiday from that standpoint. But you know, it was all right. Me and the, I took the girls to the mall, which is you know, it was fun. they've just learned the term window shopping, so that's terrifying. And
yeah. That's great.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Please support this show.
you go to the mall and you're lucky if, to quote unquote, window shop, you're lucky if, you know, you come out with just buying an ice cream cone or something like that.
Right. Yeah. No, fortunately, I think we made it out of there with a little bit of candy and that was all to it. But man, no, we had a fun time. Listen, before we kind of go through other kind of, you know, things we need to talk about, we've got a tribute coming up here. We've got, you know, a big announcement coming up. A lot, man, we got a lot of show to kick off this show with. But man, first we just have to acknowledge a big thank you to Eric Stokeby for coming on. We're talking about Pipe Royalty featured on Country Squire Radio last week.
I know, man. Yeah,
no kidding. A little bit of a smaller episode than usual, but man, for the powerhouse that was featured, that was incredible. What was it like hanging out with him?
Dude, it was great. I mean, you know, he's one of those people you come in and you're like, that guy's Nordic.
Right. Yes,
you know, that's a Dane and he's a pipe smoker and he knows what he's talking about. And, man, it's really neat to get to hang out with Eric a little bit again and, get to know him better. He's just got such an interesting story and, such a great company and they're doing some fun and dynamic things with some partnerships with, you know, other carvers and tobacconists. And so, man, we had a great time. It really was a lot of fun. So with so much uncertainty in the world and everything, there's just so many fun things to know about the pipe community right now. And I think Eric's right there on the front lines of it. And man, we appreciate him coming to our goofy little shop to hang out. So it was fun. Yeah.
That's huge. It was interesting listening to his voice again, because last time I talked to him was over the phone. I remember meeting him. We met over the phone and, that was an interesting phone call, between the two of us. And it was kind of like, you know, when there's that feeling of when you're in the presence of greatness, but then there's that other feeling of when you're on the phone with greatness and you just hope you don't say something stupid. You know what I mean?
Something ignorant. Yeah.
Exactly.
Show all your cards.
Yeah. Oh man. Actually, I got a funny story about he and I in Chicago and I probably shouldn't actually share that. I'll tell you about that off my
All right. That's fair.
That was actually the last time I saw him. But anyway, awesome. Thank you so much for Eric coming on the show.
And, yes, man, very much.
Great thing. Man, you know, we've got, as I just kind of teased a moment ago, we have a big announcement. I'm going to tease a tease here. We've got a big announcement coming the week of October 6th. This is something very different than anything that we've put forth before the people of Country Squire Radio. I think listeners, you know, who have a love of the pipe, of the art form, of the craft, of kind of enjoying just beautifully crafted tokens, works of art that kind of communicate a history. If that's you, stay tuned. October 6th, we've got something we're really, really stoked about, kind of a partnership and something to share with y'all that is going to be yeah, really exciting. So that, I think that's all I'll say for now.
It's going to be great. It really dovetails with Pipe People nicely. And I think lovers of finer things, too. So it'll be fun. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, man. I cannot wait to share that with people. And that's coming again. That's going to be the week of October 6th. So you will not want to miss that episode. From that, we do need to kind of acknowledge a little bit of tragedy. Not even a little bit. A lot of tragedy, man, that hit the Squire recently.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
Well, yeah, it has been, a good several days. It's also been a very difficult several days for a variety of reasons. But I do feel like we just have to mention this at the top of our show, mostly for our local listeners, but also which it's actually for our podcast is a very small amount of the people. Most of our listeners are worldwide, which is so great. And we're honored, obviously, by that. But, we have a local community, but then also the people that listen to the show that have come by the shop have in some sense been able to kind of interact with that local community. Folks have, they've met the Hurricane, they've met Bruce, right. They've met, the other JD and all these people that kind
cast of characters
that kind of, exactly, that's a great way to put it. And And so, man, there's this a pillar of our community, a part of our fabric that died last week. And, he was 67 years old. His name was Bill Rutledge. Bill was a very good friend. He was kind of the mayor of the Country Squire. I don't know how else to say it. I want you to picture a probably 5'6", 115-pound man who always wears an Oxford button-up shirt, khakis, a blue blazer, loafers, very business-like, very professionally short-cropped hair, a exquisitely manicured mustache, and an accountant. One of the most fascinating conversational people that you'll ever meet. And he was literally at our shop every day. I met Bill several years ago. He's from Mississippi, had his very stellar career all over the country, lived in Hawaii, Washington, D.C., Texas, different places, had clients, accounting clients in places like Spain and Japan, and I mean, just all over the world. He's a very cultured individual, but retired back to Mississippi to take care of some elderly relatives of his that didn't have anyone else to care for them. And Bill and I got very close. He he was abroad, kind of started smoking a pipe years ago and, hung out at W. Curtis Draper's in Washington, D.C. and, a regular at the Dunhill shop in Houston when it was there and, stuff like that. I mean, just a very cultured, well-educated person who loved a pipe and loved pipe smokers and was really part of our fabric. Bill was at the shop, like I said, all the time. If you visited as a pilgrim, there's probably a 90% chance that you met Mr. Rutledge. And not only that, but Bill also, when I bought the Squire from the Reeves family, this has been 6 years ago now, Bill was a big part of that. He really advised me a lot in some very just brilliant ways on kind of how to set up a business structure and taxes and the financial agreements and all that kind of stuff. I was very blessed by his knowledge and wisdom. So Bill leaves a huge hole at our shop. And I think the only person that could have rivaled his importance to our business is someone else we had a whole episode about, and that's right. Jack Harper. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting is Jack, I had a team of three people that advised me when I was in the process of buying the Country Squire years ago. Two of them are now gone, and they were Bill and Jack, and the third one is a 40-year-old young healthy attorney named Cooper, who I'm very close friends with, and he can't go anywhere.
No, lock him down, man.
I'm sending him vitamins all the time, but anyway, Bill, it was a very good friend and leaves behind a precious family. He actually developed a really aggressive form of colon cancer. He was 67 and had some other, complications, type 2 diabetes and some other stuff. So, Anyway, it, you know, just kind of happened relatively fast. But anyway, this, this episode and really, really our shop is dedicated to Bill. And if you ever had the chance to meet him, you know, I hope you, you know, have the fond memories. I know you will. And maybe say a prayer for his family because they're grieving. But, rest well, my friend. We miss you dearly.
Yeah, man. And yep. you would have definitely known from his Starbucks bag and his mustache game, man. You know, I don't mean this at all as a disrespectful kind of way, but man, he always reminded me. Actually, this is a compliment. He always reminded me. Did you ever see The Great Mouse Detective?
Yeah. I'm familiar with it. Yeah.
All right. He always reminded me of like if the Great Mouse Detective was a human, which I realize would be Sherlock Holmes, but still, like,
right.
That's kind of that like
it's kind of Bill. Yeah.
He kind of carried himself that way. He was puffing on his pipe as he would kind of stroll the shop from time to time and just be very, you know, kind of contemplative when like the hours were down and like the shop was quiet, he would still be there. And he was, you know, so that's when you mentioned kind of the mayor of the shop does kind of remind me just someone who's holding court. And and always ever present there.
So funny. You mentioned those Starbucks bags. We'll transition real quick. But Bill was always dressed to the nines. He was always completely well put together, you know, very starched shirt, pressed khakis, you know, all this kind of stuff. Very well groomed mustache and hair in perfect place and all this. But, you know, he kept all of his pipe related stuff in these two ratty beat up Starbucks bags. And that's all. Anytime you saw those bags sitting on a chair somewhere, you're like, oh, Bill's here. Like, and, you know, it's so funny. People offered to buy him, proper, you know, pipe carrying cases and, you know, travel bags and stuff like that to hold his pipes, for years, you know, maybe something nice and leather that would, kind of match his get up and the rest of his wardrobe. And man, he just shunned it. He just, you know, the Starbucks bags worked and, they were full of his private blend tobacco and a couple of good pipes and, a box of matches. And that's all he needed. And so he was a very practical man. He's a good guy. So we'll miss him. We'll miss his Starbucks bags, and we'll miss those deep conversations. He's a good man. Rest well, Bill.
Yeah, Bill. This one's for you.
Yep.
Man, we've got, of course, this show could not be made possible without the support of our amazing patrons and club members. And we have got quite a few members we got to shout out this week, man. We've got, joining at the Squire level, we've got Russell Littell.
Russell Little. Man, thank you, Russell, joining at the Squire level. That's great.
That's right. And don't let that name thwart your belief in terms of Russell's stature. He is, I actually have no earthly idea. He could be 5'5", he could be 5'2". I have no clue. I have no clue. But chances are he's taller than us.
In our book, he's Russell Big. Yeah.
There we go. Man, we also have joining at the Squire level, Erica Rivertree, which, by the way, I got to give it to Erica. Every single time I see her name, her last name, I just like feel like she's an elf. You know what I mean? Like the Rivertree, Erica of the Rivertree, elves who grow down by the forest. And
the Rivertree elves, yeah.
Right? That sounds Tolkien-esque.
It does. Absolutely. Erica, thank you so much. We're really thankful for you.
Absolutely, man. And then finally at the pilgrim level, man, we've got Dave Raygun Ray.
Dave Ray.
It's just Ray. Yeah.
It's just Dave Ray.
Well, I mean, like, that's the thing. We got kind of the elvish river tree and like the pew 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 ray gun.
The ray gun. Yeah. Man, Dave, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Y'all are amazing. Thank y'all so much. And hey, if you'd like to help support the show, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where you too can help make the show happen every single week without fail. We thank y'all. All right, man. We are talking about a series in which opinions matter as much as, well, you know, it's all that matters, actually, in this particular series. You know, so as folks already know from seeing the title, we are talking about another top three series. Now, this is always really fun because this is kind of a chance to look at, you know, your picks as kind of an expert in terms of top three choices for cherry blends or top three choices for this particular pipe, typically in kind of the tobacco space. Now, this is great because, you know, whereas there are kind of, you know, shameful type episodes like Pipe Shop Fails, where we occasionally have to go negative. One might even argue in the hamster cage variety, there are those type of moments where we have to go negative. Top three is really just about highlighting what's good. And man, We are today talking top three Ashton pipe tobaccos, which I'm so stoked for because I thought Ashton pipes, you know, I didn't know they were making tobaccos.
Yeah, but they're not.
Oh. Educate me, John Davis.
Yeah, man, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Yeah, top three Ashton pipe tobaccos. We thought we'd look at a brand that is kind of overlooked as far as their tobacco stable selection that they have. And so many good tobaccos here made in a very world-renowned blending house. And they're just kind of overlooked. You know, they're tobaccos that folks aren't regularly, you know, throwing up on their Instagram or sending coveted samples to each other of kind of thing. But the tobaccos are delicious. They're incredibly high quality. We've mentioned a couple of them on the periphery on the show before, but I thought we'd do a expose kind of on their top three best-selling tobacco. You mentioned about that. There's some confusion in the pipe world relating to the name Ashton. Mm-hmm. The true pipe aficionado will recognize the name. Ashton, some of the best briars that come out of the United Kingdom are Ashton pipes, and those pipes are actually in no way affiliated with this pipe tobacco, the Ashton pipe tobaccos that we find in these beautiful tins that we'll talk about shortly. Bill Ashton Taylor, who worked for Dunhill for decades, he in the early 1980s branched out on his own to kind of, in his mind, kind of recover what Dunhill was supposed to be really about, you know, and he started producing pipes on his own and then gave the pipe brand the beginning of his surname, which is Ashton. That became a highly coveted briar pipe, and folks in the pipe world, yeah, maybe it's not as well known as a Dunhill or a Costello, but if you're a pipe enthusiast, you well know the name Ashton in high-grade, high-end English pipes. And so folks see Ashton tobaccos, and they obviously think that Ashton pipes are in some way linked to that. But that, actually, there's no linkage. The Ashton name here comes from the Ashton Cigar Company, which was founded in 1985 by Robert Levin, the owner of Holtz Tobacco Shop in Philadelphia. Holtz, if you've been to Philadelphia, I've never been to Holtz in particular, but actually Bill, who we mentioned earlier in the show, he went to Philadelphia a lot on work and would hang out at the Holtz shop. And it was one of those places that he talked to very fondly of, but a well-respected tobacconist, historic place, upscale. And Robert inherited this business in the 1970s from his father and then wanted to come out with their own kind of cigar line, something that was super premium and that they could sell in their store, but also sell market, wind up, you know, turning into something that they could wholesale and get in shops across the country and the world. And they accomplished just that. Some say, you know, the name Ashton's there, and it was made for a shop called Holtz in Philadelphia, and then made by Robert Levin. So where does the name Ashton come from, right? And some say, I've read this kind of floating around the internet, but I can't confirm it. Some say that Levin, when he created the Ashton brand in 1985, he was encouraged to use the name Ashton because of Ashton pipes. And so, basically the reputation of the Ashton Pipe Company was high end. It was a sophisticated sounding name and had a kind of a panache to it and all this. And so they were like, well, if you're going to name this cigar brand, you might as well name it after something like that. You know, I kind of find that hard to believe. I can't verify that. You would think there'd be, all
lawsuits.
Kinds of copyright issues and trademark whatever. I mean, I don't know. I kind of find that hard to believe, but
is it kind of like how, you know, like Rockefeller oysters are not associated with the Rockefellers in any form or fashion? It's just, we wanted to communicate this is a rich dish, and therefore we classy. Are going to call it Rockefeller.
Yeah, maybe that's it, you know. The thing is, though, I mean, this is an actual company. It's not a recipe. It's not something kind of generic that anyone can make. I mean, this is a name brand company. And so, I don't know if there maybe is some minor connection there due to the name at first. But regardless, whether there was or not, the cigar brand was born in 1985 and is totally unrelated to Ashton Pipe Company. And so it's fascinating, folks. Have actually told stories about going to the Holtz shop there, the home base of Ashton in Philadelphia, and being disappointed because they don't have any Ashton pipes. It's like, well, what, you've got Ashton cigars, you're the home of Ashton cigars. Why, where's the Ashton pipes? It's kind of dumb, and they kind of have to figure out around the edges. But anyway, Ashton, a premium name, and cigars that eventually got into pipe tobacco and has a storied legacy there. But what's fascinating about Ashton is that they, like a lot of luxury brands, they don't actually produce any of these products themselves. They outsource all the manufacture of their cigars and their pipe tobacco. And what they've chosen to do, though, and what makes their name hold weight and carry weight, is that they've chosen the best people in the world to do this. And so if anyone's listened to the show long enough and you know a little bit about cigars, you'll know that I have an affection for Arturo Fuente. Arturo Fuente, very storied cigar brand. They make inexpensive cigars, but they also make really high-dollar cigars. They all in between. It's a very old-fashioned brand, lots of very highly regarded Vitolas and things that they've come out with. Of course, the Opus X, which they produce, is very well regarded and highly sought after. Don Carlos cigars, all that, really, really good. And so they are the ones that actually produce the Ashton cigars for Ashton. And so that they're made in that factory with some of the best leaf in the world by some of the best cigar blenders in the world and rollers. And so really high end. And so the same amount of care was chosen for finding a place to have the Ashton pipe tobaccos manufactured. You'll be happy to know that they are manufactured by, and this is where I get giddy because I'm kind of a fanboy of this blending house, but it's Kohlhaas & Kopp in Germany.
Wait. They're what in Germany?
You've heard me mention Kohlhaas before on the show.
I know. I'm just curious. Is there any relation? That's all I wanted to know.
What? No. This, uh-huh. Well, I don't think so. If so, I'm missing my royalty check.
To say, do you have any kind of vested interest?
I know, right? Follow the lineage back. No, Kohlhaas, of course, man, some of the manufacturers, some of the best.
Hang on, I'm sorry.
You can't handle it.
You know, it's just, every time I hear Kohlhaas, man, I think of, there's some German, like metal song, Du hast. Like Kohlhaas,
you don't even spell it the same way, man. It's Kohlhaase. I'm probably not even saying it right, but you know, it's Kohlhaas, and they're great, and they have they make some of the best tobaccos in the world, and so including the Ashton tobaccos, and so you know they probably paid my relatives a long time ago to change the spelling of our name just to disassociate with
that's
got to
be
we were a bunch of horse thieves, you know.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
Exactly. But Kohlhaas, of course, the manufacturer of Rattray's tobacco, Robert McConnell, Wessex, Astley, John Aylesbury, Vowin, all these just stellar, well sought after brands that just fly off the shelves. You know, they are so sought after because of their quality and scarcity and all this kind of stuff. So they produce the Ashton tobaccos and do a really good job. So you're smoking when you buy these, not just something that's been renamed from a big factory that produces tens of thousands of SKUs, but you're smoking European small batch tobaccos that are produced with a lot of tradition. And so anyway, top three tobaccos from Ashton. A little history there, kind of winding around the curve, but coming home, we're going to talk about their top three. And you can't talk about Ashton blends without mentioning Artisan's blend. Artisan's blend will mention number one. And, this is their best selling pipe tobacco. It's the one, that a lot of folks, if they've, smoked an Ashton blend at some point, it was probably this blend. It's a well regarded English blend. And it's a Balkan blend. It's something that's more, full bodied and features some Turkish tobacco and just has a nice complexity with the addition of Perique. But, a very handsome purple coin style vacuum sealed tin, Artisan's blend by Ashton. It comes in a 50 gram tin. It's got this very, very handsome kind of golden wreath that has a crown at the top. These are all very elegant products, which you would expect from one of the more highly regarded tobacco companies in the world that produces this caliber of product, but all very nice looking. Reads on the front, this full-bodied English mixture is carefully crafted for the experienced pipe smoker. Virginia and Turkish tobaccos harmonize with Latakia and a touch of Perique to create a taste that is resoundingly rich, spicy, and satisfying. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this is. This is a very highly regarded English-style blend. Again, Virginia, Turkish tobaccos, Latakia, Perique, and some Black Cavendish to kind of round it out. Historically, this premium blend contained Syrian Latakia, and that was the case up until actually pretty recently. As we've kind of seen the stuff in Syria, as we all know, Latakia, that leaf that smoldered over those open fires that creates that real magical, peaty, oily, leathery leaf that imparts the tobacco with that kind of roasted barbecue, peaty flavor. Originally coming from Syria and then kind of migrating over to Cyprus, and now most of the product that we see comes from Cyprus, actually all of it, because of a variety of reasons, but also mostly the instability that we see in Syria that, you know, tragically is all over the news. So, yeah. But the artisan blend now contains that Cyprian Latakia from Cyprus. So this is a full and smooth tobacco. It's velvety, but it's strong. And the strength is actually more in the flavor of this. It's bold and rich, meaty, but it has a nice, as far as the nicotine content and the smokeability, the approachability of this, it's a medium bodied tobacco with a full taste. And I like that. I like that, you know, when English blends kind of land here where, you know, you've got something that's very approachable, the flavor is aggressive and bold and maybe kind of naturally sweet, but it's not going to just knock you over as far as the strength goes. This is not something you have to eat a huge steak before you sit there and smoke a bowl of. And I really like that. I really, really like that. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it's got a nice complexity to it. I think the Turkish tobaccos kind of come out a little bit here and harmonize nicely with the strong proportion of Latakia. When you open up the tobacco, this is a ribbon cut tobacco. It's got a nice oily dark color to it with some black, brown, and walnut colored leaves, just very, very handsome. And you can tell immediately it just kind of fills the room with that nice leathery Latakia note. So, so good nice. Stuff. Artisan's Blend. That's Ashton's best selling tobacco. And really, if you're going to try any tobacco from Ashton, that would be the one to try. Kohlhaas, of course, has done a great job here.
I my mouth is watering.
Yeah, it's good stuff. If you listen to the show long enough, you'll know I'm not, you know, particularly a Latakia smoker, but this is one of those blends that belongs in the rotation and is relatively easy to get too. It's not a hard to find tobacco.
Okay, all right.
Next stop, we've got Consummate Gentleman. Similarly decorated, a very elegant tin. It's got this royal blue with a nice kind of gold embossing around the edge of the vacuum seal coin style tin. Just very handsome with this rich blue. It's got a tuxedo gentleman at a party kind of smoking his pipe in the background. It says, a proper English mixture composed of only the finest Virginia, Maryland, and Burley tobaccos with a pinch of Latakia. The result is a remarkable blend that is medium-bodied and traditionally English in character. I love this. This is really good because it's what, in my mind, an English blend really should be, which is not a Latakia bomb.
Right. You know,
I think I've told the story before of chatting with a tobacconist from a shop that will remain nameless. Mm. But this tobacconist, he was kind of crotchety and curmudgeonly and all this stuff. But he was telling me that, you know, one of his biggest regrets about the modern pipe blender is the amount of Latakia that is used in an English blend. He was like, you know, back in the 60s and 70s when we were blending pipe tobacco, like, you know, an English blend had maybe, you know, max 10% Latakia. You know what I mean?
Right.
And nowadays we see these bombs with, you know, big, you know, meaty proportions of, I've smoked, you know, 60% Latakia blends and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm with him on that. You know, for me, an English blend having just that kiss of Latakia that lets itself be known without being ham-fisted, that's a nice place to be, I think. And so I wish more English blends had that. Now I'm kind of, even as I'm sitting here talking, I'm like, okay, well, maybe that should be my next blend. is a honest old fashioned English blend, but traditional English style blend with less Latakia than you'll see in the Artisan's blend or in other popular Englishes today. And it also lacks the orientals. So some of that tang floral note there is not present, but it is traditional. It's very bright. It has a touch of peat with a nice warm, pleasant flavor to it. This is a pretty mellow, simple tobacco. It's an all day, every day English mixture, and I think it's very approachable for that reason. This is something that if you're a English blend smoker and are looking for something that you can just have in your pouch every day without thinking about it, this is the ticket. And it's in that European Kohlhaas German kind of, you know, in that tradition of pipe blending and manufacturing, and they're making a very high quality product here that's readily available. So it's got a brightness, which I think is nice. The room note of this particular tobacco kind of skews toward the Virginia a little bit, which I appreciate. So you'll get some elements of that bright leaf there, which is very satisfying. When you open the tin up, obviously those dark oily leaves of Latakia are staring you in the face. Just from looking at the tobacco itself, this is much more nuanced. It's more delicate. You've got really, really light colored leaves, some butterscotch looking leaves here that have a nice golden hue to them. And they're just accented with these dark oily Latakia leaves, which give it a little bit of that smoke. So just very, very pleasant. This is something that burns really nicely. The addition of those extra Virginia leaves and Maryland leaves, they just give it a nice little bit of a natural punch to it that is very pleasant. It lets you know you're smoking real pipe tobacco, but the depth of it that's paired with that Latakia is very nice. So good all day, every day smoke. Some people think it's on the little bit of a plain side, but for me, this is an English blend that I find myself wanting occasionally in a good blend.
All right. Well, that's number two. So
number two,
who's going to hold the real crown? So to speak?
Rounding it out. Yeah. Smooth sailing. You have to talk about smooth sailing. This is an aromatic tobacco that's very popular amongst folks that are trying Ashton blends. A lot of people are drawn to Ashton blends because of the look of these cans. They're very elegant and premium looking. And so, this is probably the best selling aromatic that they have. It's a crisp blue tin in the same style as the other two. It's kind of got a beachy feel, and there's this kind of sailing aspect to it that you feel immediately connected to relaxation and pleasant atmosphere. This is a very nice ribbon cut tobacco. So it's decidedly aromatic, but not cloying or syrupy. It's a very, very nuanced aromatic. You'll get notes of liqueur, chocolate, maple, and there's a nutty and kind of a bright flavor in there too. There's this bright, almost, it may even be a citrus flavor, like a little bit of orange. So there's a lot going on. This is one of those aromatics where every single puff, you'll get a little hint of something different. Some people even taste caramel or coconut, which I think is interesting. But again, in that European tradition of a high quality, not syrupy aromatic tobacco that's been thoughtfully flavored, this is a very high quality aromatic that's a good all day everyday smoke for someone that's looking for a tobacco that is nuanced and is elegant and not overly flavored with any kind of topping. And so really, really good. This is something that not a flavor chaser is not necessarily gonna go after, but the nuanced fan of a nuanced pipe smoke that is looking for a semi-sweet blend that's a good all-day, everyday blend, makes the room smell warm and inviting, this will be a good tobacco for you. So you open it up, a really nice ribbon cut tobacco that is very inviting. It packs well for the amount of flavoring it has. It tends to stay lit easily and burns to a nice powder. This is a good aromatic for aromatic smokers who want to try a tin tobacco, kind of stick their toe in that water. Maybe you are used to smoking some bulk tobaccos or something of that nature. If you wanted to try a tin, this would be a good place to start. So smooth sailing from Ashton.
It really is a gorgeous tin. It kind of reminds me of Easter. Like, there's just something like that kind of, obviously the color scheme, but just kind of that specialness of Easter morning. Everything is all bright and crisp, and you know you're ready to pop open your jelly beans before getting carted off to church. And I don't know, when I look at it, that's what it makes me think of. Even though there's like no eggs or Easter aesthetic, just the color itself.
Yeah, it just has that bright, it's almost a pastel.
You know what it is, actually? All right, hang on. I'm just now realizing, because I'm not just looking at the smooth sailing. I mean, since we've been going through this, I've got kind of a whole, you know, gathering here of all of the Ashton Pipe tobaccos. If you look at them, I don't know if you've got a couple of them in front of you or if you can kind of pull up an image of them.
Yeah.
Did you ever make those Easter eggs as a kid? You know, the Easter egg packs with those little capsules that you put in the vinegar and it bubbles up?
Yeah. I mean, we're just dying. Yeah, dying Easter, right, Easter eggs,
like,
right?
If you line up all of these tins, you see it, don't you? They look like those capsules.
Yeah. No, that's right. You got these little, it's a color palette. You know, it's the nice, pleasant little, wheel that, what's his name? Bob Ross, would dip his brush into. So
that's right. No, it reminds me just of, I'm sitting here looking at it. I was like, why on earth? This has got a ship on it. Why is this making me think of Easter? Like, I'm realizing, like, oh, it's when I'm looking at all of these, just bringing me to Easter, man. But
that's it, man. Really good tobaccos, and, very affordable, very accessible, and all made, in a storied blending house. And I think you'll enjoy it.
And then, you know, I know what I'm smoking this Easter.
Yep, there you go. Only between Easter and Labor Day, right? Yeah,
for no other reason than it's stuck in my brain. So I love it, man. All right. Well, hey, that's your top three for your Ashton Pipe tobaccos. And the great thing is, if you happen to have access to these at your local pipe shop, or you want to bust into these and see if John David did it right, we strongly recommend you do so with a good quality corn cob or clay pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is right. And Bo, you did mention the clay pipes now from Missouri Meerschaum. Missouri Meerschaum made their name on high quality corn cob pipes made in America's heartland. But today, with their purchase of Old Dominion Pipe Company and the really great historic clay pipes that they made for decades, we've got the addition of these beautiful clay pipes that you can get from Missouri Meerschaum. So go to their website and check it out. They've got a nice selection of clay pipes you can get, and even a classic trio set that has a hardwood pipe, a cob pipe, and a clay pipe, all in a handsome pouch. So if you go to corncobpipe.com, check it out. You can order a clay or a corncob pipe there, and they'll ship it right to your front door.
That's right, man. And we really do appreciate our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring the show.
A question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week this week, coming in all the way from Anonymous.
Yeah, no, this is interesting. It's a fascinating question.
This is not. I say it, like, this is legitimately coming in from Anonymous, as you'll see in the question. They wish to be named Anonymous. This is not the hacktivist organization. Yeah. This is a
right.
Just somebody who wished to remain nameless. Here we go. Say, okay, I do not need to be named on air because this question is straight up pipe smoking blasphemy. Like all of your listeners, I love the show. Like, I love my favorite blends. However, this time of year, I lean towards cigar blends and cigars. But recently, I can't help but think just how much tobacco is in some cigars. It's a lot. My question is this: has anyone tried cutting and smoking cigar tobacco straight from a cigar in their pipe? I'm not talking about smoking the nub in your pipe. I'm talking about taking the full 3-ounce cigar and ribbon cutting it into to enjoy in your pipe, potentially extending the amount of days that you can enjoy that blend due to the volume. Is this pipe cigar craziness, or did I just transcend into the Matrix again? Don't cancel me. From Anonymous.
Anonymous, man, interesting question. A little controversial, obviously. Cigars can be smoked in pipes. We see the nub, as you mentioned, smoked in pipes. And if you listen to a Pipe Shop Fails episode at one point, we discussed a former patron of the shop who may have gone around and pulled the butts out of ashtrays around and chopped them up like carrots and put them in his pipe to smoke. And there's a reason that guy doesn't come in our shop anymore. And if you want to know more about that, that, you can go back and listen to that episode. But yeah, you know, pipe tobacco and cigars are actually
right.
You know, they're cousins, but they are different, and they're very different, and they're blended differently with different expectations involved. So of course we've got different strains of tobacco that are used for cigars and pipe smoking. And that's why when you have a cigar blend, it typically will, you know, feature mostly pipe tobacco with that Connecticut broadleaf in there, or maybe some Maduro leaf or whatever to give it that cigar-y flavor, but not being overwhelming. Pipe tobacco, when it's blended, it's really meant to be a melange. You see that word around occasionally. It's a melange. It's a mixture. You get a pinch, and within that pinch, you've got kind of the entire story of the blend. With a cigar, cigars are rolled differently. They're blended differently. They're meant to be smoked in the tubular form in order to be enjoyed in that form. And the reason that that's important is that as the cigar burns, its character is dependent upon the ratio of leaves that are together in that order. It's kind of, it's hard to explain without kind of pointing to the innards of a cigar. Mm. But cigars, when they're blended, they need to be enjoyed. If you want to enjoy them the way the roller intended it to be, you need to smoke it kind of in the vitola itself. And that's because that's why it's so important for a cigar to be smoked evenly, where the ash is even on a cigar. Because if it gets kind of crooked, or if it gets, diagonal or cattywampus or whatever, you know, you might wind up smoking more of the filler tobacco than you're supposed to enjoy the proper blend. And so, or maybe more of the wrapper, or maybe the wrapper's burning unevenly, and so you're getting more of the binder. And, really you need to be smoking the entire cigar in a very methodical way in order to get the flavor that the blender was going for. And so all that to say, I kind of took a tangent there, but yeah, I mean, sure, go for it. Smoke cut up a cigar and put it in your pipe and smoke it in that direction. I think the strength of the cigar in a pipe will probably overwhelm you to a degree. I think it will. I think there's something about how you consume pipe tobacco out of a pipe that just makes it more appropriate for that flavor, that delivery mechanism, you know, that delivery instrument. I think for a cigar, there's just something to be said for smoking it with the full kind of finished rolled product in your hand. So go for it. You know, if you're looking for something economical, cigars are probably not for you because they are so expensive. But like you said, you can when you're smoking your pipe, it can be more economical because you're kind of going through it slower, and there's so much, you know, you can buy a pound of pipe tobacco for, you know, a quarter of the price of a box of cigars. And so go for it, try it out. But I do think you're going to find that smoking chopped up cigar leaf out of a pipe is not going to give you an experience you particularly enjoy. So everything I said, I think that kind of boils it down. I think in the end, you're probably not going to enjoy smoking the chopped up cigar out of your pipe the way you would the finished product of the cigar itself. So do it. Try it out. Tell us what you think, and maybe you can prove us wrong.
Hey, there you go. Always willing to be proved wrong, to be sure.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. There's no shame in just cutting the cigar in half. I've done that. I'm sorry. I don't think there's any shame in it. Is there shame in that?
A little bit. Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm not going anonymous,
anyone,
though.
We won't tell anyone, Bo. There's only 10,000 people listening all over the world. That's so right. Yeah, no big deal.
All right. Well, hey, great pipe question of the week this week, Anonymous. Thank you for sending that in. And hey, if you have got a pipe question of the week, you feel free to send that in as well. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com. Is there really shame in that? I do that often. I'm very economical with cigars. I mean, oh, wow. Well, okay. All right.
Yeah. Then you should, if that's the case, you should be smoking a smaller cigar.
Well,
the cigar is meant to be enjoyed in its entirety. And from beginning to end in the cigar, there's nuances in how that cigar is rolled that makes it. It's just, you just don't cut your cigar.
All right, fair enough. Wow. All right, I got taken to task. Okay.
No, do whatever the hell you want, you know. You'll be fine. All right. I've got guys at the shop, you know, they buy $15 cigars and all they do is chew on them. And, you know, am I thankful for those guys? Absolutely.
Hey, man, take that money. Sure, for sure.
Quickfire with the Squire.
Quickfire questions! Ow! All right, man. Quickfire questions. Are you ready, sir?
Yes, yes.
Let's knock them out here. Here we go. Frozen veggies or canned?
Frozen veggies. I don't know. I don't like, you know, slimy vegetables coming out of a can. Frozen vegetables, you know, you put them in the microwave and they have this steaming thing. I don't know. I'll go with that.
All right. I mean, I think that that's actually healthier, if I'm not mistaken, because you don't have all the additives and everything.
Both of them are lazy.
I mean, no, they're both lazy. That's to be sure. Woodworking or leatherworking?
I'm a pipe guy, so woodworking. I don't do either because I'm a tobacco guy, but, you know, I'm a pipe smoker. I got to go with woodworking.
Yeah, but I feel like leatherworking is like the cousin of woodworking.
No, it
especially,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, well, and in the pipe world, you know, you have all these beautiful accessories that are made by hand with, you know, leather products. And so, yeah, that's there. But yeah, I got to go with the wood.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. Next up, elk or moose?
Elk, because because it's first.
Okay. Acceptable. What's the difference between an elk and a moose?
Yeah, you don't know the difference between it. Google elk and moose, and you'll, I mean, these are.
You don't know either. You don't know.
They're different animals. And all elk right. is, it's more svelte.
Elk-like. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
yeah,
moose.
Yeah, it's more, and a moose is more, you know, like the Rocky and Bullwinkle kind of thing, you know?
No, I got that. That's, yeah, that's a thing. All right. Surprise party or theme party?
Ooh, surprise party. Yeah.
I actually hate surprise parties.
Really?
Yes. I cannot stand them.
That kind of surprises me, actually.
Well, there you go. No, I'm not. I love throwing surprise parties, but I hate receiving surprise parties.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, I love themed parties. Yeah. Like, yeah. Star Wars party, pirate party. Let's go. I'm down.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't know if you recall, because this was several years back, but for my, I want to say 30th birthday, my wife threw me a surprise party at the house. I definitely knew it was coming. So I tried my best to act surprised, but like she's like, I know you hate surprises, so you know I'm throwing you a surprise party.
Oh, that's hilarious! Yeah.
All right, and then finally, swimming pool or lake?
You know, this might surprise people, but I'm gonna go with swimming pool. A hot afternoon, a case full of a cooler full of beer. Sitting next to the swimming pool, got some tunes going on in the background. I don't know. That sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, it should surprise no one that we're, you know, as southern and as country as we come across.
We're kind of not. Yeah.
Yes, we'll take the hot tub, please. Yes.
Right. Exactly. Yeah,
definitely the pool. All right. Well, there you go. Quick fire questions for this week. Hey, if you've got quick fire questions for us, send them into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man. This one is coming in from Stephen Brolet. Brolet?
Yeah, good enough.
All right, good enough. All right, it's Stephen B. This is what Stephen B has to say. He says, hey, JD and Bo, thank you both for the work you're doing on Country Squire Radio. Since I started listening in 2016, you both have, wow, hang on, 2016, I had to do the math real quick on that one.
Wow. Right, no,
yeah, I guess we started in 2013, so
yeah,
still quite some time.
He's been with us quite a while. Yeah.
This is true. Hey, JD and Bo, all right, since I started listening in 2016, you both have positively affected my life, not just as it relates to my pipe, but in work and life as a hackneyed craftsman and videographer. I'm no longer a videographer full time, but maker's gonna make, you know? It seems that the value we place on the first of an item we've owned is at odds with the image and legacy we'll leave behind. We place more value on our oldest things because they mean more to us personally. Hmm. And after we're gone, our loved ones will likely only remember the last item they saw us using. For
wow.
example, I hold dearly my grandfather's last camera, but don't care as much about his first. And what of Spurgeon's last cigar on display in the museum? Would we have given his first cigar the same treatment? Our first pipe, however, special to us, probably won't matter as much as our last when we pass it on.
Yeah.
Man, this is deep.
This is deep.
All right, Steven, bringing the good stuff here.
I know, right?
Says, besides, it probably still stinks from what we've from when we naively filled it with RYO, roll your own cigarette tobacco. I speak from experience. I tell myself this, your first pipe isn't as important as your last, and your last could be the one that you're smoking right now. Thanks again for the thought-provoking recent two episodes. I'm looking forward to my pilgrimage. Best regards, Steven. Well, Steven, thank you for the thought-provoking listener feedback.
Man, no kidding. I've never really made that connection. But, for instance, my own collection, right? My first pipe is a Dr. Grebo, and my second pipe, I think, was a basket pipe. It was a Benton labeled basket pipe from a little smoke shop that mostly did cigars. And, those are probably two of the least valuable pipes in my collection. I don't smoke them as much anymore because, I have better briars now and have moved on to different things, but they have that sentimental meaning to me. And there's a reason I haven't let go of them. And there's a reason I would let go of some of these fancier pipes I own before I would let go of them. And yet, whoever comes behind me, will have a different take when they're, picking through my, my briars. Yeah, that's fascinating, man. I have not ever thought about that. Yeah, you said, I tell myself this, your first pipe isn't as important as your last, and your last could be the one you're smoking right now.
Man.
Drop the mic. Pretty good, man. Yeah, it's good stuff. Whew. Good stuff. Thanks, Steven. That's great.
Steven, that's excellent. Yeah, my first pipe, is a straight billiard pipe, and I've mentioned this before, but I have every intention to put that in a shadow box.
Yeah.
And my goal is to actually put it in a shadow box with my first a Gorin Brothers hat, if that thing ever gives out, and it never has. man. Okay. Man.
That's great.
I got to meditate on that.
I like it. That's good stuff.
That might've just inspired something. I don't know. We'll have to think about that as we go along. Steven, great feedback. And hey, if you've got some listener feedback for the show, you can write it into the show at show@countrysquireradio.com. We also really appreciate iTunes reviews. Head over to iTunes and write us a review there. It's a great way to help out the show. But if you're also able to help out the show financially, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio. The show is happening because of the supporters of our club members there. And we would love to have you join, man. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow the show at Squire Radio, John David at John David Cole. And all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, top three Ashton pipes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nope. Ashton pipe tobacco.
That's right.
I keep on wanting to say three Ashton pipe. It's like a mental thing. But man, some glorious pipe tobacco discussed on this episode. And I'm ready.
Really good. I encourage everyone to try them. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a week.
See you, brother.